I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Time for a good time, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Let's get going.
Oh, it's a glorious bank holiday Monday, but it's not a holiday for us, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
This feels like work. This feels like being an Arsenal defender at Anfield.
Rise and grind. You can take that fairly easy in your own way.
Yeah, true. They had defenders, Marcus. I saw some guys.
Yeah, well, it's lovely to be with you, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. And we're ready to talk about what Wenger and them did, or didn't do, should I say.
It was a touching tribute to the 8-2 defeat at Old Trafford.
Can I just say, before we get into all the obvious negativity around the game, there is a positive thing to take, because the last time Arsenal won the league, after it, because they'd gone unbeaten, there was a lot of pressure on staying unbeaten, and we don't have that now. We've very much got
Pete
rid
Donaldson.
Of that jinx,
very
got that monkey off our backs.
The Pete Donaldson angle.
The cup half full of blood.
Donaldson would have found an angle as a Liverpool fan that beat Arsenal 4-0 as to why it wasn't a very good day at the office.
A friend of mine, I was watching it with a friend of mine who's a big Liverpool fan, and he was fuming when Arsenal were coming forward, and going, we better keep a clean sheet. I will be fuming. I was like, would you take 7-1? Well, I'd be a bit annoyed about the one. Yeah. I was like, oh, shut up.
the takeaway from a lot of negativity around Liverpool fans is possibly they think that Mignolet's going to move.
Yeah,
that is glass half empty.
When the camera shot to him, I really thought, and I know this is a lookalike people have said, but I genuinely thought that I thought James Corden's lost a lot of weight, and I know that's a lookalike.
He was dressed nice, wasn't he? He's wearing like a suit, wasn't he?
He always does for his shows.
Club suit, mate. Definitely club suit if you're not in the squad.
Richard James Fee said his highlight of the week was Liverpool resting Simon Mignolet and Arsenal resting Karius. Which I quite like.
Karius did his best. He still had a couple of wobbles against Danny Welbeck.
Karius very much the whole game was like, look, I don't care what you're doing up there, I want to be involved.
He could feel the camera on him though. Yeah. He could feel that little red light going.
I've got to show something.
I want to get more than 5 out of 10.
You've been watching that Mandanda nutmeg from the week before, I think, trying to emulate a bit of that.
Who was that for? In France,
back in Marseille, I think.
Magnifique.
I thought that must be a testimonial match when I saw it.
Nah.
It can't have been a proper one.
What happened there?
Do you mean Arsenal Liverpool?
I think so. Yeah, it was. It was well worth a Google of that moment in France with the goalkeeper. Was it Mandanda?
Yeah, Mandanda. Yeah.
So does a Cruyff turn and the player gets wiped out effectively? He goes for a slide tackle.
No.
The keeper just stops.
No, he has the ball at his feet. It might have even been on his debut back at back in France at Marseille. Uh-huh. And the striker's coming in to close him down. Mm. He's about to kick it to kick it long, I suppose. Yeah. And he changes mind at the last second. And when the guy stretches his leg out to stop it, he just nutmegs him. It's amazing.
I'd be willing to know if that was a competitive match.
And Karius was trying to do that.
Yeah, he was indeed, yeah. But he kept a clean sheet.
He did.
He managed to keep a clean sheet, which was...
Against six forwards.
Against a pulsating Arsenal team who were relentless, quite frankly.
Arsenal had six up front for most of the game. The fact that he kept the clean sheet is very, very impressive.
It was. I mean, yeah, we've heard about the 4-6-0 that was deployed by Craig Levein, among others, when Scotland played in the qualifier. But obviously, perhaps more popular in Spain by the Spanish coach.
But the great thing about Craig Levein doing it was he did it against the Czech Republic because he thought he was playing the Czech Republic from about 1995.
Yeah.
When that Czech Republic hadn't scored many goals at all leading up to that game. He was basically playing 4-6-0 against the idea of the Czech Republic.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm. And then obviously Spain did it. So, well, Wenger, maybe he's had a bit of a tinker and he seemed to play a 4-0-6.
Yeah,
well, if you get that 6-0 mixed up.
When did he bring Lacazette and Giroud? Like half an hour ago?
When the game was well gone.
Yeah, well and truly gone.
What are you going to get out of this, exactly?
It took Wenger about an hour to think, I'm not sure Sanchez is up for this. I don't know if he's up for it.
There was a point in the
Lucky
first
Bozo's
half.
On, though.
There was a point in the first half where the camera cut to him and he was sipping from a bottle of water. Arsenal were already 1-0 down and it looked like he was shaking just with probably quiet fury and frustration.
My only question
imagine.
To you, Jim, obviously you might not know, was it water?
Yeah,
I would think so.
I'd have wanted a stiffer drink than that. But people listening now have to sort of sympathise with us as a group because I've consumed quite a lot of the media around this Arsenal game, as I'm sure you all have. And there are pundits who have played under Wenger who can't think of anything new to say. So do bear in mind that we haven't played under Wenger.
There was an amazing
and we've been doing this show for a long time.
There was an amazing bit on Match of the Day too when Martin Keown was on there and he was asked, you know, come on, you've played under Wenger. What's going on here? And Keown went to do that thing where he went, you know, I had a great year under Arsenal. Just shut up, Martin. Yeah. Right, yeah. We're past that now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as well, from my point of view, you know, obviously Arsenal do have embarrassing results like this quite often, and you come on the show and it's like, oh God, great, my team's going to get dug out again. It's a bit annoying, and you know, however embarrassing it's been, you want to defend them to some point. But after that performance, it's very difficult to find an angle.
I agree, and I think the Keown thing is a funny one because Keown on Match of the Day 2 you're talking about, aren't you? He did a bit about Wenger saying that, you know, it's not, because Danny Murphy was drilling him and Keown was trying. I understand why Keown was trying to play devil's advocate a little bit, but he was blaming Wenger. And then towards the end of the show, Mark Chapman read out a tweet which said, what's Steve Bould doing in all this?
Yeah.
And you can see the cogs turning in Keown's head going, oh, yeah, Steve Bould's my mate.
Yeah,
I don't know what picks on come to me. Martin, what do you think about Steve Bould's role? And Keown just completely bottled and just went, I don't think it's fair to blame an individual.
unless that person's Ozil, because I will still see Steve in the pub on Sunday.
Well, let's not name names. I mean, there are other backroom staff who I didn't play with, and I'm happy to talk about them.
What's that big furry T-Rex doing?
Yeah, exactly.
He looks a bit foreign. I'll blame him.
I do find it fascinating how Arsenal, and it's, you know, to paraphrase Barry Davies, they just do not learn. I mean, you see them. Even at 3-0 down, I mean, because I think it was Jeremy Carragher, someone made a point saying that, you know, I know it was Graham Souness, it's a really fascinating thing he said. He said what Joe Fagan used to say to him was at the start of a game, Graham, have a good look at the game today. Mm. And what he means is the first 15 or 20 minutes, just have a look at the game. Yeah. You're in midfield, you're in that perfect position, have a look around, see what's what.
Have a feel.
And Arsenal didn't do that, and they went down, they went behind, as we know. But not only that, 2-0, 3-0, even when he started to make the changes, they still didn't go for any other type of approach to the game. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Arsenal's record against over the last 5 or 6 years against the big teams, it's poor.
It's really, really, really bad. It's,
I think, just to finish the point really quickly, I think that they're gonna obviously regularly beat teams far lower down the table than them because of resources and quality and budgets and stuff. But when it comes to when they really earn their salt, Wenger really earns his salt, he comes up short over and over again.
Well, there's this sense, isn't there? And we see it all the time with Arsenal when they start having a sort of embarrassing defeat like this. It's the sense that the game is happening to them and there's nothing they can do to sort of influence it. Like, sort of the heads drop, the shoulders go. And, I mean, you'd struggle to find a team that looked less motivated than Arsenal do in the entire Premier League on the show we've seen so far. I know it's only 3 games in, but they look like they're approaching it like a pre-season. They don't look ready. And obviously there's so much disharmony in the squad. You've got Oxlade-Chamberlain, who by the time, you know, the show's even finished, might have signed for Chelsea. Ozil hasn't signed his contract. Sanchez wants to go. Now there's rumours that Mustafi and Wenger have fallen out, and there's talk that he might even go off to Inter. It's just, there's so much disharmony there. How can that possibly be good? And at the same time, classic same old Arsenal, losing away to Stoke and Liverpool would be typical of most of our seasons in the last 5 or 6 years. So I mean, it could still just be the same old again.
Oh, I could still see them finishing 5th or 6th and going quite far in the cups. I could still see that happening. But the one thing that's really hit home for me, and I thought about saying this last week, I thought it might be a bit early, but I'll say it now. If I was Arsenal and Arsene Wenger, I would just move Sanchez and Ozil on. I would just take control back of the situation. They don't want to be there. I mean, it's fair to say if they wanted to be there, they would have signed a new contract. They don't want to be there. So why not just take a little bit of a short-term hit for a couple of players? I know Sanchez finished the season last season very, very strongly.
Both of those players together, that's 40 goals you're taking out of the team there. It's worth it, bearing that in mind.
It is 40 goals based on last season and what they've done so far. But you in a certain... To a certain extent, you have to move ahead of the times and go, are they going to deliver that for us this season? Or are we in love with the idea of Ozil and Sanchez at their very top? Because if they're not motivated to be there, they might not be any use to you. And what's the harm in taking a bit of control, saying we're a proud club, no players bigger than the team, we can take this on, and we can bring some other players through and maybe try and of course, this is sort of undermined by the fact they look like they're going to miss out on Thomas Lamar and stuff now.
Jim, you were saying about the disarray at the club. Was there not disarray at Chelsea? You know, you look at other clubs, Wenger, to me, just wants everybody to have a nice time and be cushy. And
probably, I'm not a fan of the disarray, I must say.
No, of course. But I think that, you know, Pete said on the WhatsApp group, you know, when it was half-time, Pete went, oh, I wonder what Wenger's going to, you know, how he's going to shove it up them at half-time. It's not going to, it was laughable.
Can I just qualify the comment I just made, because it sounded a bit sensationalist, because you just reminded me of something with Chelsea.
Yeah.
Look what Conte did with Costa.
Well, absolutely.
You could easily say to Conte, oh, yeah, but he can't do that, because that's 20-odd Premier League goals he's going to have lost. Mm-hmm. Conte's made a decision and said, the team is bigger than that.
Yep.
We back ourselves to replace it. We can bring other players into the mix. Of course, it helps they sign Morata for a lot of money. But he had no other striker at that point that he liked. And so it has been done before. It's not as outrageous as it necessarily sounds.
He made a decision and he went with it. I mean, with Arsene Wenger, one of the big criticisms is that he puts too much faith in players and he sticks with players for too long. And that certainly seems to be the case. He doesn't say, it's like, look at Alex Ferguson, you know, for crying out loud, the ultimate example. Move player on right, you're done here, you're off kind of thing. It was ruthless, which is why Keane, you know, obviously still has beef with him. But Gary Neville said something, going back to a couple of the points, he said that he never understands the lack of attention to the opposition when Arsenal set up.
I completely agree with this. It's been driving me nuts for years.
You said that some Arsenal fans have felt like that for a long time.
Oh, a long, long time. Yeah. It's because that was Wenger's strength, in a sense, when he first arrived at the club, was he could impose a game game on a team because his methods were so different. And also with the unbeaten season, that team was so good they could get away with it. They could always force you to play their game. But this team cannot do that. The Premier League has moved on from that. There are too many big players in there now, and there wasn't in the past. And it's baffling to me.
Wenger is essentially, with his new contract, being rewarded for failure. And he is then rewarding players for failure. I mean, because the players aren't performing consistently, yet they know they're not going to realistically be. I mean, Erling Sanchez, all being well, presuming they don't move on, they're not injured, they'll play every single time.
Yeah, you've got to bear in mind, though, the counterpoint to that is since Erling Sanchez arrived, there's been three FA Cups.
I was going to say,
they do count for something.
The word failure may, perhaps underachievement,
Title. But I'm only terming it failure on Wenger's own terms.
Yeah, the stated aim for Arsenal is always to win the league, isn't it? And if Liverpool are one of their supposed rivals, then, I mean, that's a pretty damning assessment, isn't it?
Liverpool have shown, and we should probably talk about them a little bit as well. Liverpool shown that they can absolutely terrorise you. If you don't set up properly, if you're going to play, you know, Xhaka, I think it has his flaws, but I mean, he can't do it all on his own. I mean, if you've got Ramsey alongside him, who's not really got the discipline, and you've got Sanchez and Ozil, who when they don't feel like it, aren't going to work back. Liverpool will absolutely terrorise you, and nothing sums up better for me than when Salah scored that breakaway goal. And did you see Sadio Mane breaking his neck, 60, 70, 80 yards, not even to get on the end of the ball, just to ease the defender away, Salah had more time. That was absolutely typified a team player.
I looked at that though in a different way. I started going, well, that's the bare minimum you expect from a football being on the field. You can't just let him run at the, because you need to provide support just on the off chance you're going to get a goal yourself.
That's what's so striking about Liverpool, isn't it? It's the pace of all those players. But Arsenal don't lack pace. They just didn't choose to use it yesterday.
Well, don't defend in the opposition penalty area seems to be the best way to do
also,
it.
Also, I know we said we're going to talk about Liverpool, but just remembered, putting Bellerin ahead on the left, ahead of Kolasinac, who's looked like an absolute weapon. Since
I know. When you've also got also got a left back in the back three as well. It's his team selections have been very, very odd. But all of Liverpool's forwards scored. The front three and the sub scored.
And that's something we probably have to we will enjoy as neutrals, or some of us anyway. Because Liverpool, they've got goals everywhere, and it looks like going on what you were saying and what you were saying as well, Pete and Luke. That everyone's happy to score. It might be a funny thing to say, but obviously each individual player wants to score as many goals as possible, but they don't have what you call a traditional centre forward. Even in a modern centre forward kind of way.
Well, Sturridge, I suppose.
Yeah, but Firmino's the man kind of up top and centre.
Well, he's providing half the passes.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They buzz around.
Well, so therefore, if you have someone like Harry Kane, for example, obviously an unselfish player in some respects, but Kane still wants the golden boot, as he should. Yeah, Sergio Aguero will be the same. Lukaku will be the same.
I know what you mean.
Liverpool maybe don't have a play like that, and that kind of might even if it's like 0.5% lends itself to that dynamic front three all working
Klopp
together.
Wants forwards, doesn't he? Forwards exactly. Are all going to contribute.
And you know what? That really is what Liverpool need, isn't it? When you sort of come off the back of, you know, Gerrard having been so talismanic for so long, and Suarez and Torres before that, like where the goals have come from specific places a lot, and that has been a weakness of theirs perhaps. And you know that they've solved that problem. They're such an exciting team to watch at the moment.
And straight off the back of that of hammering Arsenal, there's talk of they've bid for Monaco's Lamar after Wenger said no. No, they're not going to sell him and all the rest of it. I mean, if they get Lamar, at the time of recording they haven't, that's a double.
Really finish off showing us how it's done.
I don't have any particular insight into the workings of that potential transfer, but it seems to me if that's the case, then, you know, putting two and two together and hopefully getting four, it looks like they're preparing for life without Coutinho, if that's the case. Yeah. If they are, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, Julian Draxler, who's been told he's surplus to requirements at PSG and is available for, reportedly, between 30 and 40 million, him and Lamar and a chunk of change for Coutinho. For me, I'll be taking that all day.
Not too shabby.
Every day of the week and twice on a Sunday.
Well, they might spend a lot of that change on Naby Keita, who's going to arrive next summer.
He's coming July 2018, past his...
I like that.
Past his movie trailer.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
The crazy thing about that is, do you want me to do the medical now? I've got a spare couple of days. All right. What, in a year's time? Well, you did the medical a year ago, so you're definitely going to be fine. Listen, if it's anything like my life, every year that goes past, I'm worse. Yeah. Something else clicks.
I'm Benjamin Buttoning. Buttoning. Buttoning.
Yeah, I am all over the place.
Oh, dearie me. But yeah, Liverpool were just so good, weren't they? And it would be great if they had a proper title bid, because the last season, for the first half, certainly for the first sort of third of the season, there was talk, and Klopp was giving it the old wink and a smile, thinking, no, we don't talk about the title around here, or do we?
But he said a little bit after that, he said, we'll be in part of the conversation for sure.
Well, they should be.
But they weren't really. But, I mean, I never have any worries about them going forward under Klopp.
It's at the back. But that's what I mean. If they won the title, really swashbuckling stuff with a questionable goalkeeper, whichever one it is, and then the back four, if they don't strengthen at the back, to have that swashbuckling stuff, it would be great to see them go really deep in a title bid at least.
Yeah, and I think Virgil van Dijk can improve him as well. Presumably he's going to move somewhere. Yeah. I mean, it's gone a little bit quiet, but I thought it would be announced sort of back. I thought they were moving towards announcing it at the back end of last week, based on what I heard, but they haven't. But he would definitely improve them.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of those transfers where Southampton want to get as much as they can, because, you know, they're probably not Liverpool's biggest fans, are they?
No.
Negotiating team.
There'd be enough pages being taken out in the Southampton Echo by ex-players, but apologising for that to have gone sour.
Well, we find out most of the time about people moving because they just give away their shirt number, like Mbappe. That was the big story today, wasn't it? It was like, they've got rid of the shirt number, they've given it to someone else, he's definitely moving.
Yeah. They give it to Stephen Jovetic,
And Alexandre Lacazette was given Lucas Perez's shirt, and I think Perez found that on the internet or something.
One of the ultra modern ways that people suspect a move is when a player
unfollows the Instagram account or unfollows the Twitter account,
likes another player's Instagram post or something like that. Yeah, and then all of a sudden that is 400 words on the Mirror online.
Yep.
A yellow ticker on Sky Sports News. It's never ending.
It's like that meme, like Paul is my new friend. Friendship end with Stephen.
I preferred it when they used to just talk on Sky Sports News about a Plymouth Argyle left back having a hamstring injury. Do you know what I mean? At least that was actually happening.
At least it was football related and not contractual lottery.
Yeah. Oh, yesterday. Yeah. Let's move on to
swashbuckling football teams.
Well, Manchester City, they like to attack, Peter.
They do like to attack.
And they like to attack their own fans after scoring last minute winners as well. Which is what Raheem Sterling must have done to get that second booking.
What a thug.
Here's something for you guys. Law 12 of the FIFA laws of the game. While it is permissible for a player to demonstrate his joy when the goal has been scored, the celebration must not be excessive.
There you are.
And case closed. Move on.
Move on.
Aren't all celebrations excessive?
Yeah, I like the idea.
Put it
of
back for in you, though.
I like the idea of 4 or 5, 65 plus white men deciding that's excessive.
That's excessive.
We didn't do that in my day. No. Do they need to kiss each other?
But there is a serious point in here, which is that Pep Guardiola was very upset about it, as I'm sure you've got written down there, Marcus. But there is a safety issue here.
Mm.
The problem is the reason the law's in there is because if a player goes over to the crowd and goes over the top and everyone rushes to the front, you've got children, elderly people. They can be seriously hurt.
But the problem is excessive. What the hell does that mean? Is that kind of like
it's a grey area, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
I think Pep Guardiola's had a nice lesson in Mike Dean there, though, isn't it?
Don't
give him the chance.
No, 97 minute winner. I'll take care of this. They were talking about me, not you, Raheem.
No, they were talking about that Stuart.
Oh, yeah.
The steward who was angry.
Yeah. That was weird.
The steward obviously decided that he thought he'd get away with the 15 minutes of fame, then realised about, sort of understood.
Cameras.
And, 35 of them. Can I get away with this in what is possibly the most photographed event of the weekend at that time anywhere in the world? Turns out I can't. I withdraw my complaint.
And that's the end of that.
Yeah.
But it was a vital 3 points. But Alan Shearer was incensed on Match of the Day about celebrating, to the point of
his celebration was a bit naff, though.
His celebration was a bit naff, but he went really Geordie for a second. It was absolutely glorious. He gave his point. He went, we're man, or something like that.
That's how he broke his wrist, thumping the table when it happened.
Quite possibly, Jim. Quite possibly.
There was a really awkward moment actually today when Gary Lineker tried to bring up the wrist thing with Alan Shearer, and so I went, hurt your little arm. And she just started talking about something else.
He absolutely flat-batted, didn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Guardiola.
Sandbagged him.
Guardiola, one for a sour grape or two, said, if you cannot celebrate with the fans, then you you shouldn't invite the fans.
Yeah, okay. Mm. That is one way. That is definitely one way of looking
at it. The thing is, with Guardiola, when all said and done, as you say, excessive celebrations, it's like...
That's what Cantona was doing, celebrating with the fans.
Exactly, yeah, but the fan clearly didn't accept his leap towards him.
I prefer to celebrate with the soles of my boots. Would you care to join me?
I tried to jump at the fan. He put his chest in the way, and that's the end of that one. But with a player running over into the crowd, it may not specifically say in the rules, but it's a bit like when someone raises a hand. Hmm. When someone raises a hand, they say, oh, it's a straight red, because it's excessive
force. That's not actually true.
It's not actually true.
Violent conduct, I think they call it.
Violent conduct. But... if you raise blah, 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 it's always a red. So if you're going to run over to the fans,
it should be... I mean, there's a clear marking there. Don't go off the pitch. Yeah. Well, celebrate on the pitch, don't go off the pitch. It's as simple and as unaligned as that.
You can't leave the pitch without permission. But so there's that kind
also,
of thing.
Also, the other side of it is, it's very convenient for Guardiola and probably Sterling to think about, oh, yeah, well, I want to celebrate with the fans and you shouldn't stop me doing this. There's nothing to stop you going there after the game.
No.
You want to go over there calmly, sign as many autographs as you've got time to do, have photos taken, be a part of the fans' experience then. You can do that whenever you want. The point
they're
is,
in the Lamborghini, on.
Yeah, exactly. without being like a real like killjoy health and safety guy, the reason, I'm not saying giving an opinion on that, I'm just saying the reason they brought the law in, that was to ensure the safety of elderly and young people in the stands. That's basically
what
they
should
did
do
it.
Is do what they do at Newcastle, put the away lot at the top stand.
That's what they do at Premier
League rule, you got to put, you actually do have to put them at eye level, but Newcastle went, oh, it's no. No, we're not going to do that.
Clambering up the stand.
Pete, I was at Priestfield at the weekend. I'm sure we'll come on to that later. And there was absolutely no fans in one of the stands behind the goal, but they still made the South End fans be in the upper tier. They didn't let them go anywhere near the goal. It was really petty.
If we're going to talk about celebrations at all, if I'd have scored Daniel's goal... I'd have just run out the stadium. You'd never see me again.
Done a lap of the car park. You'd just burn off the energy.
You'd still be going.
I would be. It was last goal of the season. But
it makes me think there's nothing in my life that would be as satisfying as what that man did.
Yeah.
Like no PowerPoint presentation I could give.
I don't know, Pete.
No radio show I could do.
I've seen the CCTV footage. You look pretty pleased with yourself.
Can I just say I've played football with every single person in this room, and no one here has scored a goal like that with their left foot. No one. Not with the left.
With any foot. Yeah. We could borrow someone else's if we struggle.
Looking away, that was generous.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It was a stanchion fucker.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Peter.
What? There's no other word for it.
That's what it translates to in German.
Stanchion und fucker.
Hit the bar and the post, didn't it?
I don't think it hit the post.
It glanced off the
doesn't
bar.
Doesn't matter, don't ruin this.
I couldn't if I wanted to. Bournemouth, they look good. Still no points on the board, sadly.
Yeah.
Man City, though, a lot of attacking flair in that side.
We haven't really spoken about how good Sterling's goal was because the celebrations got in the way. Punted, chipped scoop?
I thought it was deflected.
No, it was massively deflected. I was having the same argument on Saturday. It was a massive deflection. I don't know where it would have went otherwise. The way it chipped over the keeper wasn't going to go that way if he did it himself.
The build up was nice, Jim. I think that's what you meant.
I don't know. I've watched it a lot of times.
Jim, here's an olive branch. The build up was good.
He's fingering it. I did not see it. I did not see the back of someone's heel.
Sterling had a couple of nice touches and then obviously it was a bit of a scuff finish, probably a deflection.
But it just looped in such a satisfying way.
Down.
I'm not doubling down. I'm just saying it was aesthetically pleasing.
We all saw it, Jim.
Regardless of where it came from.
All right. Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Don't bully me.
There you go. Don't bully me.
Stop bullying. We'll come on to
more
that.
More on that later.
In a little while.
That is a chilling portent of what's to come in the second third of the show.
Don't bully me.
David Silva's head is an unwelcome sight.
Have we not mentioned it yet?
I don't think you seem particularly afraid of it, Marcus. What's put the willies up to you?
Not well, Jim.
I mean, you understand that his head was always under there.
I think that's what I'm struggling to.
It's not like a Kinder Surprise, mate. Oh, this one's a shark.
I think he's done this one's
a playmaker.
He's done us all a favour because that's how we can now differentiate between him and Bernardo Silva.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Because we've already got Fernando and Fernandinho going on. That's confusing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, true enough. Azimir Begovic, the Bournemouth goalkeeper, said that the bigger team always gets the call.
Yeah.
And that's why Man City got there was a free kick towards the end of the game and so on and so forth.
Is that because it was in the 97th minute and the the fourth official put up 5 minutes?
A minimum.
Yeah, exactly.
Of five
minutes. I know the law. take it with Azmir. Don't take it with me.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. I mean, we can moan about referees in this country, Mike Dean and so on and so forth, but in China there was a very unprofessional refereeing display. Did we see this?
Yeah.
We didn't see this.
No.
We may have read about it.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. A match was abandoned 20 minutes early, so the referee whether he could catch a flight home.
Yeah.
I assume it was home.
Abandoned by him, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was equivalent of a League One reserve match.
Yeah.
So, not, you know... Still can't. I mean, there are still players there looking to get match fit.
Well, yeah. To be honest with you, I wasn't going to say that. I was just going to let it dangle.
No, okay, right. But you know that...
it was the final of...
The report I read said the first half was timed at 40 minutes, which everyone obviously thought was a bit odd.
Yep. Mm.
And then they sort of rushed through half-time. Get that out of the way.
Yeah.
And then the second period was halted at 38 minutes.
38 minutes, yeah.
And the ref's like, that's it. That's the end of it. But the report I read didn't say the score. If it was 6-0, then just get on.
True.
With it. Well, I really don't like it when you watch a game where teams get. For example, a great example would be Arsenal. Sorry, Jim, would be Arsenal at the weekend.
Yeah.
It's 4-0. Game's done. Yeah. Everyone knows what's happened. Mm-hmm. Fourth official, 8 minutes.
Yeah,
don't need 8 minutes.
Yeah, that's always good.
Let's have a couple of minutes. Let's tick the box, okay? And let's all get on with our lives. Yeah,
not when Liverpool's on the field. Though. You want them to score a couple more, don't you?
That's it, Peter. If it's a 3-0, 8 minutes, yes, please.
Yeah. But to be fair, Giroud can always get a spectacular consolation, so that's not too hasty. Yeah. But local media in that particular Chinese match said the official ended the second half 25 minutes early, then ran off.
I love that. Laters.
Just... straight, you know, out the stadium.
A rugby referee, this is not my area, but a rugby referee got this wrong in a big World Cup game. And he got a call
wrong. They're
called
ruggeries, aren't they?
They're called ruggeries, yeah. And they're mic'd up, Jim, so no one's allowed to swear at them. He got a big decision wrong, and seriously, when the game finished, he blew the final whistle and he legged it. And he didn't shake hands with any of the players. I'm talking about a big World Cup match.
Wow.
He didn't shake hands with any of the players or stick around. He just legged it because he knew he got the decision wrong.
It's funny, isn't
so,
it?
So, yeah, can happen.
Jumped in the crowd.
I was going to say, some referees leg it in, you see, in the South American matches, like lower leagues.
And the tunnel gets extended. Until it's a massive snick.
Yeah, but for more information on that, do tune into my new show, The Rugby Ramble.
Luke Moore.
Saturday afternoon.
Oh, dear me. We're going to talk about Newcastle and two Welshmen after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mum to take care of them.
The preview show sponsored by Bet365 will be out on Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Something we're all looking forward to. How did our man in the chair get on this week?
I can't remember.
I think he did Watford. Was it Watford?
Oh, it was Watford to Inter nil. Didn't come in because it was 0-0, sadly. Yeah, sorry, I was very remiss of me for not preparing for that.
Not at all, but he was close.
He had Watford to Inter nil. Didn't happen. It was 0-0. So yeah. I'll tell you what you can blame for that. Miguel Britos, you can blame for that.
That was Street Fighter-esque,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was up there with...
it was one of those ones where... Yes, it was a red card. I've got no complaints about that. But a part of me admired the athleticism. Yeah. He was off the ground for a long time. Yeah.
Sailed through the air.
Yeah. Plenty of hang time.
It's like a long jump.
He didn't walk, though, did he? He waited for the card.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
walk.
Yeah, you know you're good. You know what's coming.
Well, exactly. If you can glide through the air like that, just do that the whole way up the pitch.
By the way, you know it's right on the touchline in front of loads of Watford fans.
Yep.
I swear. I'm going to get pelters from Watford fans for saying this, but there's one or two in the camera shot who look annoyed that he got a red for that.
Yeah.
They're like head in hands, like looking at the ref. And first of all, I thought they were looking at Britos, going, "Oh, he's an idiot. He's ruined our game now." But I think a couple of them will look at the ref, going. Have you been to a football match before?
Yeah, they're mainly idiots, including myself.
I was racking the brain thinking, did that look better from that angle or something?
The thing is, when things happen so quickly, you're like, oh, this probably, I wouldn't mind seeing another angle on that one.
It was also on Anthony Knockout, who's Brighton's best player, so it's very, very calculated.
Oh, it's a proper hatchet job.
yeah.
Proper hatchet job. Let's have some correspondence, Peter.
Yes, hello to Colm. Hello, Colm. He says, he's pointed out basically the 2004 version of This Is Football. Do you remember I was talking about that version of This Is Football that had weird footballers on the front? Robbie Keane on the Irish version and Kieran Dyer on the English version. The 2004 version of that video game had John O'Shea on the cover.
Did it?
And he dug out a copy himself and he's attached a picture.
That is odd.
The man who nutmegged Figo, have some respect.
Okay.
Right? Here we go.
Is that the reward?
That image in your head. Hello to Dan Tacon. Hello, Dan Tacon. I like that name. Gentlemen, listen to your pod mentioning Eddie Howe's remarks post Harry Arter trickery. I can confirm that certain clubs or areas use their own code word for leave it.
That's what I said, didn't I?
I've played in Suffolk and Norfolk for over 10 years, and almost every player knew a call of Sid meant leave it. Maybe this is a football accent of sorts and varies from region to region.
Well, I think the reason they do it is because if they say leave it and it gets interpreted that they're saying that to an opposition player, they can be booked for that, so they have to have a code name. Yeah,
they have I remember there was a lad who used to play in the centre midfield position for my 11 side team, and his name was Mark Scott.
I could never
figure out whether he was saying Mark Scott or Mark Scott.
My name is
saying
Mark Scott,
my full name.
Telling someone else to mark someone called Scott. So that's a minefield.
One of those would be slightly more self-aggrandising than the other. Screaming your own full name in the third person.
Imagine Fancy Donny!
His celebration. Mark Scott!
It's Diggory time!
I have heard you say that before, by the way. Yeah. And not in this company either.
The moment that my children were conceived.
Head wide.
Yeah.
Dan also goes on to say, also while I have you,
nice. Right.
What are your thoughts on scrapping seedings in football draws such as the Champions League group stages and the World Cup? I'm all for it. It would make the draws more exciting without Ill to be able to map out who could get who hour upon hour before the actual draw. I mean, it's not about the draw, though, is it? It's the matches that count.
Is he basically moaning about the length of the draw?
I don't know.
Because he doesn't want to sit through 2.5 hours of a boring thing which he doesn't have to watch anyway, he's going to ruin the entire competition for the rest of the season.
Isn't he introducing the idea that it might be amazing to have really brilliant groups and
Juve,
weird ones.
PSG, Barca, and I don't know, Arsenal. In the four,
yeah.
Well, you can't have asked this season, no. But generally speaking, I'm not into it. No, it sounds good as it is.
What, you wouldn't like them all? Like all the big ones to be knocked
the thing,
out.
You're missing the point because he said international football as well.
Oh yeah, the one thing
England is struggling already as a seed. Well, the last thing we need.
The one thing I don't agree with seeding international wise is when they seed the playoffs after the group stage.
I
think that really undermines an effort that a team potentially not fancied has done to get to that playoff in the first place. Then to draw them against someone like Portugal or someone who always. It seems a bit unfair.
We don't like naughty seeding.
No.
We don't like naughty seeds.
Yeah.
Bad seeds, if you will. Nick Cave's friend.
Yes.
Matt Carlos says, Matt Lawrenson, this is gotten on the highlights of the week. Is that all right?
Yeah, of course.
You so kindly provided me, Luke. Matt Carlos says, Matt Lawrenson on 5 Live, referring to the Premier League as the Premier. I quite like that.
I do as well.
The Premier.
The Premier, that's terrible.
I'm having some jelly watching the Premier. Richard James Fee, Liverpool. I've already done that one. Liam Johnson says, highlight of the week will be Pete being positive for a few seconds because of Newcastle's result before returning to being negative because of everything happening off the pitch. Correct, Liam. Look forward to that.
That's coming up in a minute.
Yeah. Freddie Webb, Peter Crouch are now holding the record for most headed goals in the Premier League, getting the record in the Tony Pulis derby. I mean, that
glorious.
Goal. That goal
glorious.
Is very, very, very simple.
Even he probably assumed. You already had that.
Patrick Roberts, Gary Neville's growing fury throughout that Arsenal performance was something to behold. From I'm fuming watching them to this Arsenal side deserve a battering to I'd stick them all on the transfer list.
It was quite something, wasn't it?
It's why his managerial career hasn't taken off. Is that what you tried to do at Valencia?
I
had a training go today. I've decided to sell every single player. by the way, don't often do breaking news on this show, but I've just read on Twitter that apparently apparently Alexis Sanchez handed in a transfer request.
A bit late, isn't it?
I think he did that. Didn't he do that on the pitch? Yeah. That's what I saw.
The Chimbonda out of his sock.
Yeah. Wow. Can I have a highlight of what's been happening? David Villa getting a recall to Spain at 35.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd miss that.
Rooney, come on.
That's what I'm saying. You ruined that.
It's lovely. You've ruined it.
Lovely,
that.
And you ruined it.
I think Rooney saw it and went, if he can do it.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful.
Well, Peter Crouch was pressed on his thoughts about returning to England, wasn't he? At the end, after the match of the day, after the Pulis derby, which we'll come on to.
Yeah. Well, before we do, let's talk about Newcastle United.
Yay!
I like the fact that Newcastle were able to win a game, of course, and Hosselu was able to score. Which Pete, you called a tapping, which I think is a bit unfair. He had a lot to do. Still,
he bundled it in. You've
long rated him, haven't you?
Yeah, I think. I mean, what he's always guaranteed you, Jim, is goals.
I think every individual footballer you've properly slagged off so far. Or questioned the signing of Hesse and Hosselu. Yeah. Careful with the Hesse.
It's only two, though, isn't it? That?
Yeah, but name another.
No, I won't at this stage. But what I will name
you said
is
Lukaku
that
would do nothing at Man United.
Well, he didn't at this weekend.
Hot or share.
What I was building up to was saying that it's still business as usual at Newcastle because Rob Elliott was shat on by a pigeon.
Oh, is that right? I didn't see this.
Reminiscent of the famous Ashley Young
during during the match.
Apparently
I missed
so,
this.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Didn't have much else to do, did he, Pete?
it's supposedly lucky, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that Newcastle might get something out of their game, but I didn't recognise West Ham weren't going to turn up at all. Dreadful. Oh.
Well, we had a West Ham fan getting in touch. Was it? Oh, it's a test of my memory now, but was it Rick Fry, West Ham fan and friend of the Ram, got in touch saying, "Oh, our season's going to get worse when we got to Newcastle. I'll give it to 3:05. Do you remember on Thursday?"
Yeah.
And you know, and we signed off the show on Thursday saying West Ham have conceded 91 goals in their last 50 Premier League games or something. And now it's how many, 94 and 51 or whatever.
Yeah, they were shambolic. And to be fair, Newcastle, charity-wise, I think they needed it more than any other team. So thank you to West Ham for that.
Was it classic Mitrovic on the pitch? Well, he should have been sent off for a completely unnecessary elbow.
What I liked about it, though, he rounded the keeper, and you don't see that very often. And there was a beautiful shot of Mitrovic with basically telling, presumably, Rafa to shut up. So he's shut up and go, "I'm brilliant." And then Joe Hart's in his own net going, "Shit."
Yeah, he still elbowed that man, though, didn't he?
He did elbow that man.
The best example of that is Nelson Oliveira for Norwich scored, it was a while ago now, and he took his shirt off. And ran over, so he got a booking for that. Ran over to the bench, held his shirt with his name on the back of it in front of the manager's face, like waved it, and then put it back on the pitch again.
Fantastic.
Wow. Mitrovic has got a lot to learn. He's going to have to commit to it.
Mitrovic has seen Arnautovic's elbow from last week and go, "Huh.
I love a bit of that.
I think it's tough, do you?"
Yeah.
He is a problem. If he can get his shooting boots on, I think he'd be a really decent proposition. But he is a problem. I wouldn't want to hang out with him.
In many ways, Pete, you I'll say heavily implied that Benitez might be sending a message up to Mike Ashley and then not playing that well and picking certain
It's come at a very unwelcome time.
Yeah,
I
was about to say, Simon Birch was like, "Yeah, I understand your point, Rafa, but hold my beer because you will not be prepared for how bad we're going
to
be.
You don't know how far you're going to be after limbo."
I'll be honest with you, Rafa, it's going to be hard for you to lose this one.
You'll get at least a 0-0 draw. Yeah.
Rafa, he's been training pigeons all week to shit on Rob Elliott.
Yeah. Rafael Benitez met with Mike Ashley. His law and club MD Lee Charnley and agreed to stop moaning about the lack of transfers.
You know what? NUFC.com did a great kind of parallel of what happened in the exact same way to Kevin Keegan. He had a meeting and he was a dead man walking, and Keegan was basically slagging off the club and the lack of investment and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they had exactly the same thing with a lawyer, with Charnley, I think, as well, and basically just told Keegan to shut up or go. And he lasted another couple of days before he went. So I don't think Rafa's a proud man and a man who's very decorated in the world of football. He might not stick around.
Is he looking for houses in the East London area?
Oh dear. Kevin Keegan, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely mention. Yeah. But Slaven Bilic, he seems to be competing with Frank de Boer as who can get the sack the quickest this season.
The Guardian led today on their back page with de Boer, the talk of them lining him up to lose his job already. Yeah. He's only 3 games in.
I know.
I think it was Joel Ward. It might not have been Joel Ward because he's been linked with a transfer, so it might have been someone else, in which case I forget which Palace player it was. He said something quite unfortunate after the game. He said, No, he's not imposing any style on us. But yeah, we can see that.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, there's a complete lack of finesse.
Yeah. No, he's letting us do what we want.
Yeah.
Which is something that you couldn't say about Tony Pulis.
No.
runs a pretty tight ship. The Tony Pulis derby, of course, was Stoke going away to West Brom. It threw up some choice comments from angry Welshmen Mark Hughes and Tony Pulis.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Last season they had a few digs at each other. There is previous here. I mean, it's Pulis and Hughes. There's previous everywhere with them.
The best moment of the whole thing was when Mark Hughes was asked if he had ever faced Tony Pulis as a player, and Hughes just went, "I wouldn't have thought so."
So that's brilliantly dismissive.
It's a wonderful dig.
Yeah,
you can't beat that.
Yeah,
you never played in the Hong Kong second division. Yeah. Come on now.
Well, the only thing he could have done to top it would go, "What was Tony Pulis a player?"
Yeah.
Was he allowed to wear the cap then?
He went in goal. They had their press conferences before the match, of course, and they both said, no, we buried the hatchet at a Premier League manager's meeting with a gentleman's handshake. But the fact they both said it independently, probably, it felt a bit
not
scripted.
Not a handshake.
Yeah, right. Pulis going, he was very insistent about the handshake, actually, Mark. It was a bit weird. It was a bit creepy.
And that was also before the game. After the game, Pulis was at it as well.
So was Hughes.
Yeah. Pulis was asked if he got any stick from the Stoke fans, and he said, "Well, that's seven times they've played me now, and they still haven't won." I mean, he's loving it.
I should be though.
Yeah,
I liked in the post-match, Sky had Rodriguez and also Crouch, like from opposing sides, just being interviewed together. That doesn't always happen, does it?
They're lovely boys.
This was a game of great quotes because Crouch also said after the game, he was asked about Rooney retiring from international football, and Crouch said, "I haven't had to retire. I got tossed aside years ago."
And that's a hell of a tossing.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I took three men.
Crouch is quite funny, though. He just...
Like replacing a mobile phone antenna.
Yeah. He's just quite happy to be there, old Crouch, isn't he?
Yeah. He's very self-deprecating.
When he scored that goal, it was kind of like, oh, brilliant.
He was doing a radio show for like 3 weeks during the summer, and I was on at the same time as him on a different station. So I was going toe-to-toe with Crouchy for listeners.
Are they still all your listeners?
Probably. Yeah.
They should put you both on, Big Man, Little Man.
Did the robot.
I'm not even funny. He's a big name. You know what I mean? He's got a lot of people tuning in. He is a big man as well. How hard do you reckon he had to have the mic?
Get engineers in.
But I thought Pulis was a little bit upset because, of course, it was a mistake, wasn't it? Stoke had a lot of the play, but West Brom, I thought, controlled the game quite well because, sadly, I sat through the whole thing. Mm. And then Hegazi for West Brom, he's impressed since he's joined. I think it's been quite good. Him and Foster had that mix up, and Crouch was able to score yet another header, which is good to see.
It's often been suggested, or maybe even said, that Mark Hughes, we think, might be quite petty at times. He was moaning about the grass was too long after the fixture, and that was in a way he was basically saying, "Well, our free flowing passing style."
Yeah, you know, well, he attacked Stoke style a couple of times, didn't he? One of his other quotes was, "I didn't particularly enjoy it as a spectacle, or even being involved at management level."
No, he attacked West Brom, not Stoke. You said that about, well, you talk about Hughes. Yeah, he said that about West Brom, not about Stoke.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and Pulis replied saying that the pitch is always that long, as in, like, we do that with everyone. And I also think that they don't water the pitch there either to make it harder for teams to pass it.
Pulis is technically right. Yeah, we always try and mess people up.
I'm starting to
warm with Pulis.
Aggregated marginal gains, isn't it? On Fox Sports in the US, you get the Spanish commentary as well. And the Spanish commentary team refer to Crouch as Pantera Rosa, which means Pink Panther.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I like that.
I don't really know why, but that's what they do.
Quite, I don't know, ungain. Well, just like, I don't know, thin? I don't know.
It might be something to do with the Peter Sellers version of the movie where he's a bit hapless, maybe. I don't know.
I'm thinking Crouch is a jewel. Maybe that's what it is. Let's talk about Spurs just quickly before we go to another break. Another poor result at Wembley for them. It was a great point for Burnley. Mm. They love coming to the capital these days.
They really stuck at it, Burnley. I wonder if Burnley are a slightly better side than we think. Because, I mean, they obviously won away from home first day of the season. That's always been their sort of Achilles heel, I suppose. Well, last season it was. But Spurs couldn't finish them off, and Kane couldn't get his chances away, could he?
Just play Vincent Janssen in August.
Yeah.
Should have done that.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah. Get him up to speed and draft Kane straight. As soon as the clock turns 1 second past midnight on September the 1st.
Stop even acknowledging Anthony.
I don't care if you score five hat-tricks. You're out.
What a start to Chris Wood's Burnley career.
And what a ball to him.
Well, it was a superb pass. I mean, perhaps a little fortuitous there was a defensive mix-up with Spurs, but yes.
No, Raheem Sterling meant it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But Chris Wood, on his debut for his new club, in his Premier League debut, it was at Wembley to get a glorious 92nd minute equaliser. Wonderful stuff. Yeah. Boy's own stuff, Peter.
Cock-a-hoop, Peter. It would have been cock-a-hoop.
Sean Dyche talked about his players' resilience, and I thought, damn right, and in light of Arsenal, sorry to go back to that, but that's true, isn't it? The resilience of those Burnley players. Mm. That's what kept them in the division before.
Definitely.
Obviously, it's a bit of quality as well. Let's not be too silly about them. But Pochettino, his sides have started not brilliantly before in the Premier League. They've got to get going, though.
It's worth mentioning that people have said, oh, you know, they've already dropped more points at home than they did the whole of last season. I mean, last season at home, they were staggeringly good.
Yes.
I mean, I think it was their best home season ever.
They're not going to repeat that anyway, though, are they?
Yeah, and I think it was a bit of an outlier. I'd be surprised if many other teams at all. I mean, even we were talking about it earlier, we didn't have the stats to hand, but even Arsenal, when they're unbeaten season, I don't think they drew quite a few games. I mean, Spurs only drew two games last season at home. They won every single other game.
Yeah, which was remarkable. Yeah.
I mean, it is a little bit. They're being hoisted by their own petard there a little bit.
They are, but it was just the way the game ended that they'll think to themselves, because you get that win, you shut all the media up about the Wembley hoodoo.
Absolutely.
All that kind of stuff. But lacking a little bit of street wisdom, if you know what I mean.
And also, especially against a team like Burnley, who are, you know, they are determined and ragged. Yeah. All those other sort of cliches about a team who's not sort of traditionally a Premier League quality team, they make it hard for you. Mm. And you have to finish them off. And if you don't finish them off, and Spurs had a chance to do so, Burnley came on strong in the final exchanges and were able to get an equaliser. And obviously that's disappointing for them. But last season for Spurs at home was an outlier. And yeah, clearly they're not going to maintain that sort of level at home forever.
Mm. True enough. One man who wasn't disappointed on the weekend was Neil Warnock. A little bit of chat about him after this.
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mum to take care of them.
A Yohan Kebab, Shola Amamovi, Hatton Ben Affery.
All the best ones.
Neil Warnock and Cardiff made it 5 wins out of 5. Against one of Warnock's old sides, QPR, as well.
Yeah, which is often the case, though, isn't it, with Warnock?
Yeah, true.
Generally one of his old sides.
Yeah. There's a lot of Neil Warnock derbies. Warnock said after the game, I don't know what the supporters pay to get in here, but you can't tell me it's not value for money.
He's absolutely
he's off those kind of comments, Neil. All right.
Sol Bamba was saying that Neil Warnock's like a father to him.
That's
right. It's a big story on the BBC website today about that. Because Bamba, I don't know if you guys remember, I think we might have covered it, he was sent off against Ipswich last season because he had a bust-up with David McGoldrick, and Warnock was fuming. You know,
that's
Warnock
right.
grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and like dragged him
was
off the
Bamba,
pitch.
Was that Bamba, was it?
It was Sol Bamba, same player.
Yeah, I do remember the incident.
And now he can't, you know, now he obviously thanks him for it. Maybe it's some sort of Stockholm type syndrome, but he absolutely loves it.
He spanks me.
Yeah. You could imagine Neil Warnock, though, that kind of slightly more old-school approach. But what he was doing with Bamba was not behaving well in that incident. Warnock might have not been so public about it, per se, but I think he would have realised that he was doing it for his own, development as a man.
Still grounded him.
Yeah.
Well, if he needs grounding, Jim. If he needs grounding. But yeah, but it was a great win. Junior Hoylett also scoring against his old side.
Good to see him get a mensch.
Remember him?
Yeah. How old is he, Marcus?
27.
Wow. Feels like he should be a lot older than that.
Much like ourselves.
Yeah. No, I am a lot older than that.
Mick McCarthy's Ipswich, they were finally beaten. Losing against Fulham. Fulham hammered them. I mean, it was only 2-0, but you look at the stats, it was incredible. And that's why the Championship's so good. Fulham haven't had a win all season. Ipswich had won the previous four, and Fulham go there and destroy them.
Petition to just rename this section the Neil Warnock and Mick McCarthy section.
Well, Big Mick said after the game, call the police because there's just been a murder. They absolutely bashed us up with and without the ball.
Yeah, and that's a fair, accurate representation.
I would say so.
By the way, just on the Championship as well, Birmingham were beaten again. I'm tempted to say that at least two of Arsenal's lone players have been keeping up at their end of the bargain, but that would be bullshit because they both started and they got beaten. Cohen Bramall on one wing and Carl
Jenkinson on the other.
He of the contract on the other, yeah.
Yeah.
And Carl Jenkinson got sent off in the game at Old Trafford. They got beaten 8-2 as well.
I think it might have been his debut as well.
He got two yellows, I remember that.
Two yellows.
Mm. What a day.
Anyway, look, Red Nuts Birmingham. Neil, and Harry is on record as saying we'll be top six, no danger. Running out of games, Harry. There's only about 41 left now.
But it can all change. That's the championship for
you. How many is he going to get over the line between now and Thursday night?
An awful lot of bodies. Yeah. Silly scenes at Nottingham Forest, talking about bashing things up. Two Forest fans were videoed fighting over the last pie at the food stand. That's not made up.
It was an astonishing incident from which nobody emerged out of it with any credit at all.
No, we don't like to see fighting, but
I mean, even Sully's whoever makes the pies.
I've got a little clip that you got a little.
Really not worth it. Idiots, all right, mate? I won't be bullied.
How insistent he is about not being bullied.
I mean, that's the guy that threw the punch as well, from what I remember of the
video. He's the one doing the punching.
The villain of the piece would surely be the procurement officer in Nottingham Forest for half-time food.
The thing
food,
that gets
surely.
Me, if you go to a football match, there's never the pie you want. It's always your second choice. I'm furious, usually.
I was at Brighton pre-season. And they, because it was a pre-season friendly against Atletico Madrid, they're expecting a big crowd, and they received one.
Mm-hmm. Your own pie.
The only half-time food they had was one type of pie.
Yeah. You're always going to get sold.
A sort of one-size-fits-no-one approach, if you will.
Was it a vegetarian
one? There may be more than meets the eye here, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, no one emerged out of it with any credit. If you haven't seen the video of two football fans fighting over a pie, the last pie at halftime, they are very much exactly as you'd imagine they looked.
Don't bully me.
Yeah, and sound.
Yeah. I think the European Union now want a hard Brexit because of that. Just get out.
I want a hard Brexit because of that. But only for the Nottingham area. And perhaps the Gillingham area, which I was at on Saturday.
Yeah, you were. You were at Gillingham.
Yes. And
you saw a hat-trick.
I did see a hat-trick from possibly the worst striker I've ever seen play in the professional ranks. Tom Eaves scored a second-half hat-trick for Gillingham in a 3-3 draw. I looked him up at half. This is no word of a lie. At half time, I was saying to my mate I was with, oh, he's really bad. I need to look him up. And Tom Eaves, he scored four league goals the entirety of last season for Yeovil Town. And then he turned it around in big style and scored a hat trick to dash Phil Brown's dreams because they should have about six and a half at half time. It ended 3-3. But Phil Brown very much getting the band back together. He's at Anton Ferdinand, who looked shot to bits at the back. And guess who played up front for him? Marc-Antoine Fortuné.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, up front for Southend.
Glorious.
Imagine that.
Blimey.
There you go. It was a great game. It was a really, really good game. It was 1-0 at half time and 3-3 by the end, so you can imagine what it was like.
How were the pies?
I didn't have a pie, actually. Yeah. A
too too violent.
No, exactly.
Too violent.
Stay out of it, mate.
I only had one left. I thought, I'm not going to get involved.
There are tons of left, so people were still fighting.
It's like Game of Thrones. I just want the pie.
Yeah. I want the iron pie.
The iron pie.
I want to sit on the iron pie.
I'm sure that's funny.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Marcus still hasn't got involved.
We'll tell you later, Marcus. You've only got about 83 episodes to catch up on that, don't worry.
That's fine. Before we go to going for gold, quick mention for the Scottish Premiership. Just after four matches and a month of action, because obviously now the international break is coming, it will take Celtic at least until September to get to the top spot. So well done, everybody.
Sound a bit like Ned Stark there. The international break is coming.
The Dandies are top of the league.
They are, the Dandy Dons.
They're the king of the north.
I mean,
I know that one. You know nothing, Marcus Speller.
Is it going to stay? Are they going to stay there, Marcus?
For August they are.
You'd bloody well love them to, wouldn't you?
Of course I would.
Yeah.
That would be a breath of fresh air. It would be a genuine breath of fresh air. Yeah. Let's go to Going for Gold.
Let's go for Going for Gold.
Do you know what I like? 1-1 is the standings at the moment. Marcus is on one. He got himself back in the hunt last week.
I fancy going in the lead today.
With Phil Bardsley.
Yeah.
I opened up with Diego Forlán. Who did you get?
I opened up with Jimmy Traore.
That's right.
The other way around. Yeah.
Let's not do this every week.
No, we won't.
30 weeks.
Everything to play for.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen.
I mean, there's about 50 shows left.
I mean, if none of us get it, presumably you get a point.
Yeah, he does.
I guess I do, yeah.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
It was very close last week, wasn't it? Because you got
very
it
close.
Very, very late.
Very close.
What happens is I read, there's a mystery footballer involved in my head or on my piece of paper in front of me. I read out a load of clues pertaining to that particular footballer, and these guys have to guess each round. This one has actually been written by Tasman Johnson.
So oh, he's not
you,
even
Tasman.
Doing his own work.
Well, I'm just, well, it was
time.
A good one. It was a good one.
All right.
So I thought I'll use his recommendation. So thank you, Tasman, for the clues. I did double check most of them. So
don't hold the paper like that because Marcus can see it if you hold
no,
it.
No,
like
look
that.
How thick it is.
Okay, right.
See?
Okay.
Double back, see?
Because he thinks of himself as a Christian golfing man, but I know he logs into your computer with your login and everything.
Checks all, out. All time, checks out. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, my Christianity keeps me well out of Pete's good.
Right. First clue. I was born in Liverpool.
Stop. Let's just go for Joey Barton.
Joey Barton.
Stop. I'll go for Neil Mellor.
Incorrect, both times.
Stop, Jimmy Case.
Incorrect. Who is Jimmy Case?
Oh, he's a Liverpool legend.
70s legend, mate.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'll tell you later.
There's so many people angry at me right now. Yeah. Why did I have to say it?
He's in Game of Thrones.
I played 17 times for my country, scoring one goal.
Ooh.
Ooh, sexy.
Stop.
Go on, yeah, go on.
Mark Lawrenson.
No, not Mark Lawrenson.
Would
no.
he have been born in Liverpool? Probably not.
No, I don't think so. He's born in Preston, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Prem. Premier.
The Premier.
After winning Preston.
Prezi.
He's born in Preston, mate.
Don't Premier me.
Come on, Peter.
I played for three Premier League teams without ever having a transfer fee paid for me.
Oh, that's a good clue.
That's a lovely one, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Hmm. Now, carry on.
I once tried to shoot my dad with an air gun.
Oh, God.
You sure it's not Joey Barton? I've got nothing on that. Got nothing on that.
Carry on.
I once saved two penalties in one game against Tottenham, one from Darren Anderton and one from Nicky Marmby.
Ah.
Stop. Oh, no, that's not going to be
honest, ah.
I was going to say Richard Wright, but he's not a scouser.
Well,
I don't think
move
he's going to go international level either.
I'm going to move on.
Stop. Can I?
Oh, I think I've got it.
Stop, can I?
I think I've got it.
Oh, no.
Marcus gets a crack first.
No. Brad Friedel.
No.
I'll bugger that up.
Stop. Is it Steve Staunton? No. Oh, no.
No, you had to guess.
Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? Oh, it's tense. Jim, do you want to have a crack?
No.
Okay.
Come on.
The three teams I played for in the Premier League without ever having a transfer fee paid for me were Chelsea, Manchester United and Aston Villa.
Oh, it's not. I was going to say Rob Jones, but it's not Rob Jones.
Oh, yeah. Back down, buddy.
Saved two penalties and scored a goal.
Mm.
It's obviously an outfield player who's gone into goal,
course,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's why when I went Brad Friedel.
Who are the teams again? Pete, who are the teams again?
Chelsea, Manchester United and Aston Villa.
Goodness. Oh, stop. Dion Dublin.
Oh,
incorrect.
Oh!
Can we go on Twitter? Because a lot of the listeners will have got it. Right.
Yeah,
I am the only player Sir Alex Ferguson signed twice at United.
Oh, come on.
You should know this.
You should know this by now.
This is piss poor, Marcus. You should have this by now.
You should have it. I once did a Nazi salute at White Hart Lane.
I can't believe we've not got this.
Lord Ramel's going to kill us.
That's inevitable anyway.
That's how I'm going to die anyway. I once tried to scare my girlfriend into giving up cocaine by doing twice as much as her.
Oh, God, I'm absolutely... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Stop.
Get it, for crying out loud.
Robbie Fowler.
Incorrect.
No, he didn't play for Man United.
And he certainly didn't do a cocaine.
I was thinking about the White Lion thing, the celebration.
That was an accusation by a terrace. I won two League Cups, the Premier League and an Intercontinental Cup.
This is embarrassing.
You two are shit.
we have absolutely embarrassed ourselves here. Pete deserves the point.
But you win.
Hang on, but he hasn't because
I've
got...
He should win.
No, because I've got one left. I didn't hear the last clue.
The last clue was I won two League Cups, the Premier League and the Intercontinental Cup.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Off the top of my head...
Stop.
Off the top of my head, the Intercontinental Cup might have been played in Tokyo.
Stop. Was it Mark Bosnich?
It was Mark Bosnich in there! Fucking hell.
Of course it was. Yeah. Just like Raheem Sterling left it late.
The thing that threw me is you said he was born in Liverpool.
Yes,
and
how are most Australian towns named?
Oh, you are. Very good. Very good.
Thank you very much, Tasman Johnson. Fantastic work.
Well done to him and to me.
I just really like the quote about the drugs. I told her that for every line of cocaine she would take, take, I would take two. And that is exactly what I did.
The thing that threw me was the idea of him scoring a goal internationally. And I said to these guys, oh, he must be an outfield player.
Yeah, that you did that.
And that gets into your mind.
That was your fault.
You were messing
with
up.
With your four non-blondes.
Well, so look, Pete, we're all square now.
All square.
Everyone's got one.
No.
I got that. Okay,
don't take it. Look. You poorly influenced Jim and I throughout that game. You can't start influencing the score.
You've got your nose ahead. Yeah. There's a long way to go.
Tasman played a blinder there. I had to move around some of the clues, but fantastic work. Yeah. Fine work, Tasman. Well,
very good. So. What a way to finish, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Lord.
Don't bully me.
Yeah, exactly. Don't bully me for not getting it right, and don't bully Jim either.
But bully for me, because I got it right.
You did. Mm.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramp. It's been an absolute pleasure. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Bye, Petey.
Bye.
Cheerio from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
mate. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.